From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. There was a time, writes Bonnie Blodgett, when I took my sense of smell for granted. I assumed that it was indestructible. That was before she lost her ability to smell, and with it, her ability to taste. Gone was the comforting, complicated smell of her great-grandfather's wing chair, the rich springtime pungency of her garden. In her new book, Remembering Smell, Bonnie Blodgett writes about her experience and about the science of smell. Here, she describes the emotional dislocation that came with that loss.
When you can't smell, the simpler and more familiar the food, the more traumatic its transformation. Buttered toast, the ultimate comfort food, is no longer familiar. You've been conditioned through long years of exposure to expect toast's symphony of delightful sensations, beginning with the sweet aroma, then the liquid saltiness on the tongue, and finally the crisp yet chewy feel between the teeth. There is no way to describe the revulsion that attaches itself to the poor excuse for the food that every fiber of your being is begging for. To compare the taste of scentless toast to cardboard is to admit defeat.
That's such a great description of what that experience is like, because everybody knows, I think, that sensation. And it's not a complicated one, right? It's the simplicity that makes it so poignant, I think.
Yeah. What I really mean to say is that losing your sense of smell isn't what you might expect. If you've had a head cold, then you think, oh, I know what that's like. It isn't like that. Because smell is tied into the other sensory systems and into the emotions, and in a way that causes everything to be kind of thrown out of whack when you lose it. The brain, first of all, completely freaks out. In my case, anyway, it produced phantom smells, which were uniformly vile. It was immediately apparent to me that, number one, the brain takes smell very seriously, and the loss of smell is traumatic.
Well, describe when you first realized that something had gone haywire with your sense of smell. What happened?
Yeah, I was visiting my daughter at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and the whole weekend I was with her, I was trying not to notice, actually, because it was kind of freaky, that food sort of had a metallic tinge to it. And as I was driving home from Madison, that's when it really became obvious. I mean, I couldn't distract myself or tune it out. I was sitting in the car, and the metallic smell was becoming putrid. I kind of knew at that point, my brain just wasn't working right. So when I got home, I did go to see my doctor, who thought I had any number of other things wrong. She thought I was possibly maybe under a lot of stress at home.
Thought it was all in your head.
Maybe, yeah. Everyone thought it was all in my head. So I didn't really talk about it because I didn't want to hear that. I finally got to an ENT doc, and thankfully he knew immediately what it was. I had had a cold, and I had taken a medication called Zicam. It's a cold remedy that is homeopathic. It was not regulated by the FDA until people lost their sense of smell and was finally recalled. But I was one of those unlucky ones, and the doctor was very calm and just sort of acted as if, well, you know exactly what it was, mm-hmm. and told me what the phantom smells were, and I was devastated.
Just how bad was this? How debilitating, when you were having this phantasmia that you're describing, these phantom smells of well, I guess, rotting flesh and everything awful that you can imagine.
Well, it was bad enough so that I now recommend that someone come up with a way to induce this sensation in people out of whom it wants, like the FBI, to get information, because it's like torture. They're the worst smells you can imagine, and they do not back off.
At one point, and this must have been, I would think, a mixed blessing for you, that the phantasmia, these horrible smells, disappear and you're left with nothing. All smell is gone.
Right. I'm not going to say that that was worse, because it wasn't. It was a blessing. It was a relief. Except that I had no way of knowing before what it would be like to not smell anything. And when I woke up and sniffed and there was nothing there, I don't know how to explain it. I felt completely disconnected. I truly felt as if colors were more flat. the voices in conversation felt like a TV soundtrack to me. And I think it's really because I was disconnected. There was this sense that picks up odors, even those that we're not conscious we're smelling, they're there, and they create part of the world that we live in. So that emptiness, that sterile landscape was quite a shock.
Did you find, as you were going through this, and it was an experience that sent you into what sounds like a pretty profound depression, did you find that people didn't take it seriously, this experience, this thing that you were going through?
I didn't expect them to, actually. If you tell somebody you've lost your sense of smell, the next time you see them, they're not going to ask you how you are. They will have forgotten. It's not a visible disability. It doesn't inconvenience other people. You seem to be perfectly fine. And so, of course, one assumes that you are. And you assume that you should be. And so there's a whole combination of sort of self-loathing on top of sadness.
Well, the happy ending here is that you do regain your sense of smell. And the way you describe it in the book, it's almost as if you don't trust that it's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I didn't want to get my hopes up. I have a pretty fertile imagination, and I just thought, no. I walked by a popcorn shop, and I swear, I smelled that popcorn, but I wouldn't allow myself to believe it. It would have been too disappointing. And so it really wasn't until I was in my garden. And again, it's the unconscious smells. It's the smells that you don't celebrate. When I could smell that, I knew. And then, of course, I just let the floodgates, I was going around smelling everything. And then the great experience of being able to smell lilacs again. And it was just, I don't think I'll ever get over it. I find myself constantly, when I'm working in the garden, I'll have all these smells in my hands, and I know that I'm missing out a little bit because they're down there where the smells are, and I'm up a couple feet up above the earth. And so I'll get down there. I mean, really. And, that's one reason why dogs smell so well. We don't realize this, but they're low to the ground, and that's where the big, heavy smell molecules are.
Bonnie Blodgett, her book is Remembering Smell, a memoir of losing and discovering the primal sense. Bonnie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa. It was fun.
And you can read about the road trip on which Bonnie Blodgett started losing her sense of smell at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.